Now turn to part three.
You will hear part of a radio program in which journalist Arabella Gordon talks about the phenomenon of technophobia.
Many of us know someone who walks out of the room as soon as a computer is turned on, or thinks that Twitter is something found in summer gardens. Indeed, given the explosion of modern gadgetry, increasing numbers of us are finding ourselves victims of technophobia. Journalist Arabella Gordon has just finished a book on the subject.
Technophobia is the fear or dislike of advanced technology. These days, it is applied mostly to computers and other electronic devices, but it has a long history. Prior to the Industrial Revolution, there were very few complex machines in Britain. Mechanical clocks were an expensive rarity, and transport hadn't evolved beyond the horse-drawn carriage. So when machines started arriving in the workplace, they were mysterious things, and many saw them as a threat. And in one very important respect, they were indeed a threat. In the weaving profession, for example, the new machines were able to do the work of skilled craftsmen, using unskilled and poorly paid women and children to operate them. The artisans lost their jobs by the thousands. In 1675, a group of weavers responded to their dismissals by destroying the machines which had replaced them. This scenario was repeated many times over the following decades. By the 19th century, the pace of change had increased, and with the greater changes came greater social unrest. In 1811, the Luddite movement sprang up when Nottinghamshire mills and factory machinery were burnt by handloom weavers, and it soon spread to Yorkshire and Lancashire. For a while, the Luddites were so powerful that they clashed in battles with the British army. The situation had become so serious that in 1812, Parliament passed the Framebreaking Act, which made industrial sabotage a capital offence. In that same year, after a mass trial in York, 17 men were sentenced to be executed, and many others were forcibly transported to Australia. The Luddite movement faded away soon afterwards. The early 19th century also saw the rise of the Romantic movement. Poets such as William Wordsworth and William Blake captured the mood of the time. They believed that the rapid technological changes brought on by the Industrial Revolution were defacing the purity and perfection of nature, making the world a far less desirable place to live in. These sentiments could not stop the march of history, however, and technological invention continued apace. Nowadays, of course, it is not mechanical machines that we fear so much as computers. Computers seem to have the ability to think, not merely to move in predictable ways, and so their threat is a different one from mechanical technology. For example, computers can now beat even the greatest human chess grandmasters, and pocket-sized devices can outperform us in arithmetical calculation. Science fiction imagines futures in which computers turn on their human creators, such as the HAL 9000 computer in 2001, A Space Odyssey, or in which humans are enslaved by intelligent robots. It is hardly surprising that technophobia persists. One example is the ongoing use of typewriters. Why would anyone want to use a typewriter when computers can do so much more easily, and when typewriters are big, dirty, and noisy? Nevertheless, the Japanese multinational company Brother still sells some 10,000 electronic typewriters a year in the UK, although sales are declining by some 10% per year. The customers are mostly older people, although many are bought by cash-strapped students attracted by the price tag of around £80. More surprising, perhaps, is that they still sell some top-line models for over £500, which, of course, is easily enough to purchase a computer. In developing countries, demand is greater than the UK, especially in areas where the electricity supply is non-existent or unreliable. But even in developing countries, demand is falling rapidly. So why would anyone who had the money and the electricity supply choose to keep writing with a typewriter? The highly successful thriller writer Frederick Forsyth admits that he sticks with the technology he's used ever since he was a foreign correspondent in the 1960s. For him, there are inherent dangers faced by computers to which typewriters are not prone, such as suddenly losing all you've just written, or being the victim of hacking. But there's also the way it feels. For him, it is far more satisfying to see the printed paper gradually emerging from the typewriter carriage rather than viewing the virtual text sliding up the screen.
Arabella Gordon, thank you very much. Many of us know someone who walks out of the room as soon as a computer is turned on, or thinks that Twitter is something found in summer gardens. Indeed, given the explosion of modern gadgetry, increasing numbers of us are finding ourselves victims of technophobia. Journalist Arabella Gordon has just finished a book on the subject.
Technophobia is the fear or dislike of advanced technology. These days, it is applied mostly to computers and other electronic devices, but it has a long history. Prior to the Industrial Revolution, there were very few complex machines in Britain. Mechanical clocks were an expensive rarity, and transport hadn't evolved beyond the horse-drawn carriage. So when machines started arriving in the workplace, they were mysterious things, and many saw them as a threat. And in one very important respect, they were indeed a threat. In the weaving profession, for example, the new machines were able to do the work of skilled craftsmen, using unskilled and poorly paid women and children to operate them. The artisans lost their jobs by the thousands. In 1675, a group of weavers responded to their dismissals by destroying the machines which had replaced them. This scenario was repeated many times over the following decades. By the 19th century, the pace of change had increased, and with the greater changes came greater social unrest. In 1811, the Luddite movement sprang up when Nottinghamshire mills and factory machinery were burnt by handloom weavers, and it soon spread to Yorkshire and Lancashire. For a while, the Luddites were so powerful that they clashed in battles with the British army. The situation had become so serious that in 1812, Parliament passed the Framebreaking Act, which made industrial sabotage a capital offence. In that same year, after a mass trial in York, 17 men were sentenced to be executed, and many others were forcibly transported to Australia. The Luddite movement faded away soon afterwards. The early 19th century also saw the rise of the Romantic movement. Poets such as William Wordsworth and William Blake captured the mood of the time. They believed that the rapid technological changes brought on by the Industrial Revolution were defacing the purity and perfection of nature, making the world a far less desirable place to live in. These sentiments could not stop the march of history, however, and technological invention continued apace. Nowadays, of course, it is not mechanical machines that we fear so much as computers. Computers seem to have the ability to think, not merely to move in predictable ways, and so their threat is a different one from mechanical technology. For example, computers can now beat even the greatest human chess grandmasters, and pocket-sized devices can outperform us in arithmetical calculation. Science fiction imagines futures in which computers turn on their human creators, such as the HAL 9000 computer in 2001: A Space Odyssey, or in which humans are enslaved by intelligent robots. It is hardly surprising that technophobia persists. One example is the ongoing use of typewriters. Why would anyone want to use a typewriter when computers can do so much more easily, and when typewriters are big, dirty, and noisy? Nevertheless, the Japanese multinational company Brother still sells some 10,000 electronic typewriters a year in the UK, although sales are declining by some 10% per year. The customers are mostly older people, although many are bought by cash-strapped students attracted by the price tag of around £80. More surprising, perhaps, is that they still sell some top-line models for over £500, which, of course, is easily enough to purchase a computer. In developing countries, demand is greater than the UK, especially in areas where the electricity supply is non-existent or unreliable. But even in developing countries, demand is falling rapidly. So why would anyone who had the money and the electricity supply choose to keep writing with a typewriter? The highly successful thriller writer Frederick Forsyth admits that he sticks with the technology he's used ever since he was a foreign correspondent in the 1960s. For him, there are inherent dangers faced by computers to which typewriters are not prone, such as suddenly losing all you've just written, or being the victim of hacking. But there's also the way it feels. For him, it is far more satisfying to see the printed paper gradually emerging from the typewriter carriage rather than viewing the virtual text sliding up the screen.
Arabella Gordon, thank you very much.